Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we had commented the chapter where Imam Thani rahimahullah alayhi mentioned those things that are makruh and those things that are prohibited in salah. So last we had done the masla in regards to pictures and having a musalla which has animate objects on it. Further he writes, namaz ke andar ayato ka ya kisi aur cheez ka ungliyon par ginna makruh hai. That when a person is performing salah, then to count the ayat of the Quran, the verses of Quran on your fingers, or to count anything else on your fingers, this is makruh. For example, if a person is reading salah to tasbih, so he has to count now throughout that 15 times he read the third kalima. So to count it like this on your fingers, this is makruh. Albatta, agar ungliyon ko daba kar ginti yaad rakhe, to kuch haraj nahi. However, if a person, he slightly just presses the finger, and he remembers there's no harm. So his hand is like this. So he remembers by just pressing. By slightly just pressing. Like the first, second, third, fourth. Like just press it slightly. In that way, there's no problem. But to count it on the finger, that won't be correct. Dusri rakat ko pehli rakat se zyada lambi karna makruh hai. That to lengthen the second rakat more than the first rakat, this is makruh. That the ayat of the second rakat, they should be equal to the first rakat, or they should be less than the first rakat. However, fuqaha have written, I mentioned I think the other day also, that if it is maybe up to three ayat more, then there's no karahat. It won't be makruh. But if the second rakat is longer than the first rakat, and it is more than three ayat longer, then in that case, it will become makruh. And in makruh, we said that the namaz won't be invalid, but a person will get guna, and the sawab will be decreased. Kisi namaz mein koi surat mukarrar kar lena, ke hamesha wohi parha kare, koi aur surat kabhi na parhe, ye baat makruh hai. That in namaz, to stipulate a particular surat, that he always read this surat, and he doesn't read any other surat, this is also makruh. That a person, he says that I'll only read this surah. For example, he says, I'll read Alam Tara in the first rakat. This is the only surah I'll read. I won't read any other surah. So that is makruh. But for example, a person that's his favorite, he likes to read it. So sometimes he reads something else also. But most of the time he's reading Alam Tara. So there's no problem with this. Because here he hasn't stipulated, hasn't fixed that this is necessary, this is obligatory, every namaz must read this. Just because he likes it, that is why he reads it more often. Kande par rumal dal ke namaz parna makruh hai. This is important matlab. That it is makruh for a person to place a shawl or a scarf on the shoulders. Some people do this. They come for salah. So we leave the shawl on the shoulders open. Just put it on there. Or some have it on the head. They just put it on the head and it's hanging like that. This is makruh in salah. Why? Because now when you're going to be performing salah, going to ruku, going to sajda, every time now you must put it right. Every time you must sort it out. So instead of concentrating in salah, your concentration has been now diverted. You're now more worried about the scarf than your salah. So that's why he writes over here, makruh hai. Bohot bure aur mele kuchele kapre pehen kar namaz parna makruh hai. To wear clothes that are very old clothes, that are now dirty, to wear this type of clothing and perform salah, this is also makruh. That a person is coming before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a person should dress in a presentable manner and then come and perform salah. So a person shouldn't wear some old clothing or some overall that he was working with. Now he comes with that and he wants to perform salah. That shouldn't be the case. In a presentable way, perform salah. To wear, perform salah in that type of clothing is makruh. Aur agar dusre kapre na ho, to jaiz hai. But if a person, he doesn't have any other clothing, this is the only clothing he has. Now it won't be makruh because that's the only clothing he has. For example, a person went to work. And now at work, his clothing is a mess. Now he stays maybe 10 kilometers away. So he can't go home to go and fetch new clothing to come and perform salah. So this is a different case. Now he can perform salah with that clothing. But generally, where a person has other clothing, so he's talking about that case. There a person, he shouldn't wear this type of clothing, old clothing, dirty clothing, and come and perform salah. Paise kori waghaira. Koi cheez muh mein lekar namaz parna makruh hai. For a person to take some money, some coin, or kori refers to like a shell, the sea shell, to take one of those small shells, or something of that sort. So this is just an example he's giving, but anything a person takes and puts in his mouth, and then he wants to perform salah, this is also makruh. Or agar aisi cheez ho, کہ نماز میں قرآن شریف وغیرہ نہیں پڑھ سکتی تو نماز نہیں ہوتی, ٹوٹ گئی. اینڈ اف دس از آف سچ اے نیچر دیٹ بیکاز دس آئٹم از ان دا ماؤتھ آف اے پرسن ہی از انبل ٹو ریسائٹ قرآن شریف ان صلاح, سو دین یور نماز از ناٹ گوئنگ ٹو ٹیک پلیس ایٹ آل بیکاز یو کینٹ ریسائٹ ناؤ ان نماز, دیرفور صلاح از انویلڈ. سم پیپل آسک اباؤٹ سم ماؤتھ گارڈ دیٹ یو گیٹ, so they say that they bite on the teeth or something of that sort, so this keeps it separated. So if they put that in and if they cannot recite, then there's the ruling applies that salah is invalid. Jis waqt peshab paakhana zor se laga ho aise waqt namaz padhna makruh hai. When a person has an urge, a strong urge to relieve himself, then at that time to perform salah is makruh. Person must go first, relieve himself, and then come and perform salah. Why? Because now you're in salah, so now you're rushing. There's no concentration, because now I need to go and relieve myself. So he's rushing through his salah, and he needs thought concentration, so ulama say it's makruh. Jab bohot bhook lagi ho, aur khana tayyar ho, to pehle khana kha le, tab namaz pare. If a person is very hungry, and food has already been prepared, then first a person should eat his food, and then a person should perform salah. This doesn't really refer to us. We get food all the time. We're eating breakfast also, we're eating lunch also, and we're eating supper. Sahaba were such people that sometimes in a day they might have one meal. And that too, sometimes it is just a few days, that was the meal. So we're talking of that type of hunger where it is unbearable. A person is in so much of hunger that he won't be able to concentrate at all in salah. So in such a case, the person should eat first and then he should perform his salah. One person told Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he said, pehle hum namaz padhenge, phir aaram se hum khana khayenge. First let's read namaz and then with ease we'll sit down and we'll have our lunch. So Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayh immediately responded. He said, nahi, pehle hum khayenge, phir aaram se namaz padhenge. He said, no, it's the other way. First we eat and then we'll read namaz with ease. What he said, with ease, with comfort, we'll eat our food. So quickly get over the namaz, and then we'll eat with comfort. So he says, no, it's not that way. He says, the other way. First, let's eat. And then with ease and comfort, with concentration, then we'll perform our salah. So the masla is that if a person is very, very hungry, so at that time, he can eat first, and then perform salah. Be khana khaye namaz parna makruh hai. If a person didn't eat, he's extremely hungry, and he performed his salah, then it is makruh for a person. Albatta. اگر وقت تنگ ہونے لگے تو پہلے نماز پڑھ لیں, بٹ اف دا ٹائم از ویری شارٹ, دیر از ویری لٹل ٹائم, دین فرسٹ اے پرسن شوڈ پرفارم اس صلاح, بیکاز یو کینٹ میک دیٹ نماز قضا بیکاز آف یور فوڈ. سو ویئر دیر از ویری لٹل ٹائم دیٹ از ریمینڈنگ اینڈ یو ہیو ٹو پرفارم یور صلاح, سو دے یو ول فرسٹ پرفارم یور صلاح, سو نماز از کمپلیٹڈ ان دا کریکٹ ٹائم اینڈ دین اے پرسن مسٹ سٹ ڈاؤن ٹو ایٹ. آنکھیں بند کر کے نماز پڑھنا بہتر نہیں ہے. اٹ از ناٹ گڈ دیٹ اے پرسن closes his eyes and he performs salah. That some people, for concentration, they close their eyes for salah. So he says, this is not the best way, that you close your eyes and you perform salah. I think it was Mona Gangoi rahmatullah alayh, that one person came to him, and this person, he used to perform a salah of lot of concentration, lot of devotion. So one day he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said, Allah, that what is the condition of my salah? Show it to me in my dream. I want to see what is the condition of my salah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed him in his dream his salah in the form of a very beautiful hoor of Jannat, a woman of Jannat. But this woman, she was blind. She couldn't see. So she was so beautiful, but there was a defect in her. So then he mentioned this to Mullah Gangoi rahmatullah alayh. So as I said that, you closing your eyes and you performing salah. So he said, yes. So he says, that is contrary to the sunnah. The sunnah is that the eyes of a person supposed to be open. If a person closes it, it won't affect the validity of the salah, but it's contrary to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says that is why that hoor was blind. So here also he's saying that it's best not to close the eyes. Lekin agar aankhe band karne se namaz mein dil khub lage, to band karke parne mein bhi koi burai nahi. But he says that by closing the eyes and performing salah, a person is able to concentrate even more. Then to close the eyes and to perform salah, there is no harm in this. Just for a little bit of concentration. And then after that, he carries on. بے ضرورت نماز میں تھوکنا اور ناک صاف کرنا مکروہ ہے. Without a necessity, for a person while performing salah, to spit or for a person to clean his nose, he says this is also makruh. Or agar zarurat par hai, to durust hai. But if there's a need that a person has to clean his nose whilst in salah, then it is permitted. Kisi ko khansi aayi aur muh mein balgham aa gaya, a person coughed, because of which now phlegm came up. To apne baaye taraf thook de, ya kapre mein lekar mal daale. Then a person, he should spit it out on the left hand side. Or a person should now put it into his hanky. Aur daaye taraf aur qibla ki taraf na thooke. He shouldn't spit it out on the right hand side and in the direction of qibla. Here, it doesn't refer to our masjid. Because here we have carpet. So here a person, he cannot spit. So here we're talking about where it's an open area, where the sand, etc. So it can be covered with the sand. So there a person, for example, he spat it out on the left-hand side. Then it is acceptable. But doesn't refer to our masjid. And if a person has a need, then for example, he can use a tissue or he can use a hanky, something of that sort. And with that, he can clean his nose or put the saliva in there. Namaz mein katmal ne khat kaya. In namaz, the bug, it bit a person. So, isko pakar ke chhod de. So, a person should now get hold of that bug and let it off. Namaz parte mein marna achcha nahi hai. To kill that bug now while performing salah, he says this is not good. Aur agar katmal ne abhi kata nahi hai, to isko na pakre. But if the bug, it hasn't bit you as yet, then you shouldn't even hold it. So, in our times, the mosquito is normally trouble. So, if that mosquito, it hasn't yet come on you, it hasn't even bit you or anything of that sort, for example, it hasn't sucked your blood, then in that case, a person shouldn't interfere with that. Continue with your salah. Be kate pakarna bhi makruh hai. If that bug hasn't bit you, to hold that is also makruh. It makes your namaz, the reward of your sawab, the sawab of your namaz will decrease. Farz namaz mein be zarurat, diwar waghaira kisi cheez ke sahare par khara hona makruh hai. In farz namaz, without a necessity, for a person to take the support of the wall and to stand up, this is makruh. Or take the support of anything. For example, he stands on a stick or something of that sort. He takes support and now he's standing in namaz without a necessity. He says this is also makruh. Abhi surah puri khatam nahi hui, do ek kalima reh gaye the. Person hasn't completed the surah. Still there may be one, two words, one, two lines that are still remaining. One, two words to complete the surah. Ke jaldi ke mare ruku mein chali gayi. Now those one, two words are remaining, but what a person did, he went into ruku. So there's still one, two words of the surah and he's already gone into ruku. Aur surat ko ruku mein jaakar khatam kiya. So where he completed those two words? When he went into ruku, he completed those two words in ruku. The namaz makruh. So here also the namaz of a person is makruh. He must complete the recitation of the surah in the standing posture. And then only when it's completed, he must go into ruku. To complete the surah now in ruku, because the person is rushing, this is makruh. Agar sajda ki jaga pair se unchi ho, if the place of sajda where you're putting your head, that is higher than where your feet is going to be. For example, the feet is here, and the place of sajda is so high. So your head is going to be there, but your feet is going to be here. Jaise koi dehliz par sajda kare, like a person, he makes sajda on like a veranda or something that is a little a stoop or something that is a little high, but he's standing on the ground. So dekho kitni unchi hai. Then first ascertain, check how high is that stoop, how high is that veranda. Agar ek balish se zyada unchi ho, to namaz durust nahi. If it is more higher than one hand span, more than a hand span, then namaz is not correct. Aur agar ek balish ya isse kam hai, and if it is one hand span or less than a hand span, to namaz durust hai. Then the salah of a person is valid. Lekin be zarurat aisa karna makruh hai. But to do this also without without necessity, this is also makruh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today inshallah we'll commence with the masail of fasting. First, he mentions that fasting in the month of Ramadan is one of the five pillars of Islam, which is farz, compulsory upon every Muslim. Compulsory on every Muslim that he fasts. Many people, they come with an excuse. They say, no, we can't fast because I'm diabetic. Or a person is suffering from blood pressure, high blood pressure. So they say that we cannot fast. In fact, the cure to all these diseases and all these sicknesses is in fasting. He mentioned that a person that fasts in the month of Ramadan, and he fasts 3 days every month. Every month, ayyam-e-bid, 3 days he fasts every month. Allah Ta'ala will cure him from all his illnesses. Whatever illness he has, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will cure a person. One alim, he was once in New York airport. So when he was at the airport, then he met one Banya, Hindu, Banya doctor. So the doctor asked him, he said, when is your fasting month? So he said, no, we'll be fasting whichever month, he must have told him at that time. So then he said, but you're a Hindu. Why you want to know when we're going to fast? You're not Muslim, you don't fast. So he says, no, I fast. Every year, I fast also 30 days. So he says, how come you fast 30 days? You're a Hindu. So he said that I also fast 30 days because I did some research. And I found that any person that fasts for 30 days in the year, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala keeps him well for the rest of the year. A Hindu, he did the research and he was fasting. So many people, because they say that we got pressure, or somebody says that because I'm diabetic, I cannot fast. But there are so many people that are diabetic and they're fasting for years and years. Some are even on insulin. That's why many people phone and they ask the question, now when we roza, can we take the insulin or we can't take the insulin? So he says this is farz upon every Muslim, male and female, who is sane and mature. Number two, fasting has many physical, moral and social benefits. The main object of fasting is to inculcate taqwa, which Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that this fasting is prescribed, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that through this a person will gain taqwa. So that is the main objective of fasting. Number three, fasting means to abstain from eating, drinking, and relations with one's wife from Subah Sadiq to sunset with the intention of fasting. Al-imsafu min al-akli wa shurbi wal jima'i naharam ma'anniya. That a person, he stays away from eating, drinking, and relations with his wife during the day from the time of Subah Sadiq, when tahajjud ends, till sunset, but with a niyat. If no intention is made, the fast will not be valid. A person just started fasting with no intention, then the fast will not be valid. However, as I said before also, that the fuqaha made it easy. Now in Ramadan, we know roza is farz. Why is a person waking up 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning to eat? He could have eaten his breakfast 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So this is an indication that a person is waking up to keep his roza. That is why he is having his sehri at that time of the morning. But a person should have niyat. If he wants the full benefit and the full reward, then a person should have a niyat for everything. However, it is not necessary to express the intention verbally, but to intend in the heart. A person can make an intention up to midday for fard, sunnah and mustahab fast. That a person, he can make in farz roza also, in Ramadan also. If a person didn't make his niyat, right up to midday a person can make his roza, make his niyat. But which midday is referred to? There's two middays. The one midday is where we take the time from Subah Sadiq, from the time that Sehri ends, like five, for example, 5:25. Right? You take 5:25. From that time, right up to the time of sunset. And then this time, you split it in half. You split it in half. That is what is referred to in the kitabs of fiqh as Dahwatul Kubra. Up to this time, a person, he can make a niyat. And then you get the second time. The second one is where you take the time from sunrise. You take the time of sunrise and the time of sunset. And then you split that in half. And that is where you get zawar. So the dakhwatul kubra, the time where you're taking Subah Sadiq to sunset, that is maybe an hour, hour and a half before midday, before when the sun comes to its central point. So this is a little earlier. So a person for faras fast, sunnat fast, mustahab fast, he can make his niyat up to this time. As for qada fast, the intention must be made before Subah Sadiq. If you're making qada, person must fast in Ramadan, and after Ramadan now you're keeping the fast. So before Subah Sadiq, before the time of tahajjud ends, a person must make his niyat. It is makruh to fast only on the 9th or only the 10th of Muharram, or only on Saturdays. This is because of opposing the Jews. They used to fast only on one day, the 10th of Muharram. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he said that contradict them, that don't follow their ways. It is haram to fast on Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and 3 days after Eid al-Adha, the days of Eid, these are days, فَإِنَّهَا إِيَّامُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ وَبِعَالٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. That's days of eating, drinking, having relations with one's wife. So these are days of enjoyment. So those days it is haram. The mustahab in fasting. Number one, to partake of sehri. This is mustahab. Number two, to delay a sehri up to a little before Subah Sadiq. That this is mustahab, that a person, he has his sehri in the latter portion of the morning, just before Subah Sadiq, before the time of sehri comes to an end. Because a person, he can have his sehri 12 o'clock at night and go to sleep. So he doesn't wake up for sehri. So this is not mustahab. Mustahab is towards the ending. Number three, to break the fast immediately after sunset. Why? The Jews, again, look at how much of contradiction, how we are commanded to oppose them. That the Jews, they used to delay the breaking of the fast to such an extent that the twinkle of the stars could be seen. So we are taught that immediately after sunset, you break your roza. You don't delay your rozas like the Jews. Number four, to break one's fast with dry or fresh dates if available. If not, then with water. And number five, to make intention of fasting before Subah Sadiq, that is mustahab. Although a person, as we said now, the niyat can be made right up to the midday time. But mustahab and preferable is that a person makes that intention before Subah Sadiq. We'll just do one or two more of the makruh actions. Makruh actions while fasting. Number one, to chew gum, rubber, plastic items or other such items. So a person, he puts something into his mouth. So he didn't swallow anything. But this, he just put it in his mouth and he's chewing on it. So it makes the fast of a person makruh. To taste any particle of food or drink and spit it out. If a woman has an ill-tempered husband, it is permissible for her to taste the food, provided it does not go down the throat. So she just has to quickly just taste, as that is also if the husband is ill-tempered. Then just taste and immediately it must be taken out. Number three, many people ask this question. To collect one's saliva in the mouth and then to swallow it, trying to quench one's thirst. The person, he keeps it in his mouth, the saliva, because he's thirsty. And then he takes it down. So this is also makruh. And number four, to delay a bath that has become fard knowingly until after Subah Sadiq. Number five, to use paste or tooth powder to clean one's teeth. It is permitted to clean with a miswak which does not have any taste. So a person uses a tooth powder or tooth paste whilst he is fasting. If nothing goes down, just the taste remains in the mouth, then the roza of a person is makruh. And if something goes down, then your roza is going to break. The miswak, the plain miswak, the original, there's no problem in using that. But now you get scented miswak or flavored, what we call flavored miswak. To use the flavored miswak when a person is roza, that is also makruh. Person shouldn't use the flavored miswak, but use the original miswak that is unflavored. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we had discussed and commenced the second chapter, which was pertaining to niyat, making a niyat, takbir al-tahrima, and the standing posture of salah. So here he had initially mentioned that a person he should face in the direction of Kaaba Sharif. And he gave the reason why a person should face in the direction of Kaaba Sharif. It is because that from this area the world had begun. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala spread out the earth from this particular area. And insan, we are also created from sand. So that is why the secret is we face in the direction of Kaaba Sharif. And he said the ruh, this is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, the inside of a person, spiritually, a person should be facing in the direction his heart should be inclined towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then a person should come into the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And whatever need a person has, then he should present his need. But come with a lot of azmat, with a lot of greatness. And the aqidah of a person should be correct. And the niyat of a person also should be correct. Then also he mentioned that when a person, he commences his salah, then at that time the focus of Allah Ta'ala, the attention of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is upon this servant. So now when a person he says Allahu Akbar, then he withdraws from both the worlds. And like a soldier, he surrenders, everything is thrown behind. It is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that is in front of me. So when a person, when he says the takbir al-tahrima, so this is like a person, as we said, he knocked the door. Now he wanted to enter the house. So when he knocked the door, he said the takbir al-tahrima, now the door has been opened for him. So the next thing that he does, he makes salam. When you meet the person that came to door, assalamu alaikum. So for that, a person reads the sana. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. Which I explained yesterday, what is the translation of it as well. Now further he writes, faida. Ye dua sunnat hai. That to recite the sana, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. This is sunnat. Ke jis qadar kalam ta'zim aur tawheed ke is bande ke zuban se sadir hote hain, inayat e shahi is par do chan nazil hoti hai. He says, according to how much of the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala you bring on the tongue. Because in this, you are speaking of the greatness of Allah. Wa tabaraka smuka. Your name is full of barakah. Wa ta'ala jadduka. Your authority is most high, O Allah. So according to how much of the greatness of Allah ta'ala you bring on the tongue. And according to how much of tawheed, the oneness of Allah ta'ala, a person brings on the tongue, because here he is saying, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. There is no other deity except you, Allah. So how much of the greatness of Allah in Tawheed you bring onto your tongue? According to this, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showers His kindness and His favors upon a person. So the more you praise Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the more Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showers His kindness upon you. Like a person, the more you praise Him, the more He's going to have love for you, the more kind He's going to be towards you, because you are praising Him so much. So imagine Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when a person praises Him and he speaks of the greatness of Allah, then how doesn't a person enjoy the kindness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? And in reality, where can we praise Allah? Where are we fit to even praise Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? And we know what is the condition of our tongues also. One person, he wrote a kitab on Sirat, a Sirat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after writing this kitab on Sirat, then he asked Hazrat, he said that, I want to present this kitab to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said that, how must I present this kitab to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So Hazrat said that there's only one thing we can do. He says, make istighfar and make tawbah. He says, we don't know what we could have written in this kitab. We think it's in the praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But in reality, it's not the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. In fact, it is the disrespect and bare adabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So praising Allah ta'ala, where do we know how to praise Allah ta'ala? We are taught these words, that praise Allah ta'ala in these words. If we had to praise Allah ta'ala on our own, then perhaps instead of praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we'd have shown disrespect to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is why Durood Sharif also, if we were told that you send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what would we have said? We would have messed it up. So Allah ta'ala made it so easy for us, that Allah ta'ala showed us that Allah is Allah and Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allah ta'ala sends durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you say these words, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends that durood. So in this way, a person doesn't show bare adabi. So here also he says that now when a person praises Allah, then the bounties of Allah come down upon such a person. Aise waqt نزول رحمت الہی کے خیال سے کہ حضور بادشاہ کا میسر ہے. That at this time, think now, that you have favored Allah. So the favors of Allah are coming down. So at this time that the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is descending. Think of this, that the rahmat of Allah ta'ala is descending. And standing in front of Allah ta'ala has become easier for me. Standing in front of Allah now has become easy for me. His rahmat is descending. دل اپنا حاضر کر کے حاجات اپنی عرض کرے. So at this time, thinking of the rahmat of Allah coming down, I'm standing before the King, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So at this time now, become conscious, present your heart, and whatever is your need, then place this need before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Keeping this in mind, that Allah ta'ala's rahmat is coming down. And now I'm standing before Allah, whatever is my need, I'm going to present it in front of Allah. Lekin pehle arz se mazmoon daf'e shaitan ka, ke wo bara harij aur dushman-e qadeem hai. But before you even present your need, now you're going to present your need to Allah. But before presenting this need, shaitan, the wasawis, the thoughts of shaitan, this has to be repelled. Shaitan has to be moved out of the way. Why? Because shaitan is the greatest obstacle and he's the old enemy. Inna shaitana kana lil insani aduwwun mubin. He's a clear enemy of insan. He'd never want a person to now reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So you need to get shaitan first out of the way. Before you present this need of yours, first get him out of the way. Why? Because you're going to be presenting your need and now he'll come in between. So that conversation you're having with Allah Ta'ala, he's going to be, and barrier is going to be an obstacle in this conversation. So how should a person do this? So he said, Hushyar hokar, dil mein lawe, aur zuban se kahe, a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. That a person become conscious, bring it into the heart, and then a person reads, a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, that I seek protection from Allah in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, from shaitan, the one that is accursed. So in this way, a person seeks protection in shaitan. This, an example has been given of this. Like for example, a wealthy person. You get those people that are extremely wealthy. So those that are extremely wealthy, they always worried that somebody is going to harm them, somebody is going to attack them. So because of that, what they will do, they will have security with them. They will have bodyguards with them. And some of these bodyguards, they will have guns also. Like in Durban, there is one family over there. They own many wholesales. So they don't only have bodyguards and guns, but they even have the army tanks. Many army tanks they have also. They own army tanks. So at their home also, where they stay, there's an army tank that's parked there. So you want to now go and visit this wealthy person. You want to visit him. So it's not possible. If you want to try and get into his yard, you're going to get ripped off. They're going to, that door will rip you. Or either they'll shoot you down. You'll lose your life. So what does a person have to do? Very simple. All you do, you contact the owner. He's your friend. You contact him. And you tell him, you know what, I'm coming at a certain time and I want to visit you. So is it okay? So So he says, no problem, I'll come and fetch you from the gate. So now when he comes to the gate and he fetches you and he takes you in the house, nobody's going to trouble you. The dogs won't trouble you. The army won't trouble you. The bodyguards won't trouble you. Exactly the same way that now we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, Ya Allah, I want to now present my needs before you. I want to engage in conversation with you. So this enemy that I have, shaitan that is in the way, Allah, you protect me from shaitan. So a person reads that, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. That you seek protection from shaitan that is accursed. Shaitan, it is mentioned that there are three ayns in shaitan. In shaitan, there were three ayns. And one ayn was, there are four ayns. But one ayn was not in shaitan. The one ayn that was in shaitan was that he was an abid. He was an abid. He made the ibadah of Allah. They say so much of ibadah of Allah. So much of ibadah of Allah ta'ala he had made. That there isn't a hand span on the surface of the earth where shaitan didn't make sajda. So much of ibadat of Allah ta'ala. So therefore on ibadat also, a person shouldn't think that on my ibadat I'm okay. You're not okay. Shaitan made the most amount of ibadat. So the first ayn, this was found in shaitan. He was a great abid. The second ayn that was in shaitan was that he was an alim. He was such an alim that he knew all the shariat. He knew all the shariat. And not only the shariat, what we call juz'iyat, the fine print. One is you get the usul, the principle. And under the principle you get the fine print, the juz'iyat, what is now deduced from the principle. So all the juz'iyat, all the fine print, of all the shariat, he knew that also. That is what an alim he was. He was an abid also, he was an alim also. And he was an arif. He was an arif, he recognized Allah Ta'ala. He knew Allah Ta'ala so well, he knew Allah Ta'ala so well, that when he was thrown out of Jannah, then at that time, he was now accursed that you're out. And you are from today you are rejected. You'll be a dweller of Jahannam. But at that time he knew Allah Ta'ala's anger does not overpower him. So he went back to Allah Ta'ala. And he said, Anzirni ila yawmi ba'thun. Allah grant me respite till the day of Qiyamah. And Allah Ta'ala said, Innaka minal mundareen. You have been given respite. So see how intelligent he was. He knew Allah Ta'ala. He was an alim also. He was an abid. But ulama say one ayn was not in him. He was not an ashiq. He didn't have love of Allah. When you love somebody, then you don't question what is the logic. Yeah, he used logic. I'm better than insan, he's from fire, I'm from sand. When you love somebody and they tell you to do something, then immediately you prepare to do it. Why? Because you got love for that person. Whatever he says, I'm doing it. A man, he's roza and he's tired. But he knows now that the day of Eid is coming. So my child, he wants a new jacket or he wants a new kurta. So you'll walk, you'll go and you'll buy the kurta. If he wants shoes, you'll go from one shop to the next shop, and to the next shop. Through so many shops you're going to go through. Why? Because you love that child. So you want to buy it. So when a person has love for somebody, he'll do anything for that person. Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi says, that when anyone comes to my khanqa, he says, initially I don't worry about the islah of that person. That I don't worry if this person must be corrected. So the islah of that person, initially I don't worry. He says, but what I worry about? I worry about that how can I now build a relationship with this person. Because between the sheikh and between the murid, there has to be compatibility. There got to be some understanding. They got to be on the same page. If the sheikh is somewhere else, and the murid is somewhere else, that murid is not going to benefit from the sheikh. Because their thinking is not alike. So he says that love must be first created here. He says when that love is created, now you tell that murid, do this. He's ready, he'll do it. Why? Because the love of the sheikh is now in the heart. So here also, if the love of Allah Ta'ala, if he was an ashiq, he was a lover of Allah Ta'ala, then he would have done anything for Allah Ta'ala. So this is what a person should strive for. That bring the love of Allah Ta'ala into the heart, then it becomes very easy. So a person now, he seeks protection from shaitan. And thereafter a person reads, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That I commence in the name of Allah Ta'ala, who is most beneficent, most merciful. Shuru Allah ke naam pe, jo bohot meherban aur raham wala hai. When Adam alayhi salam, this Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is so valuable that when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in Jannah, then everything was found in Jannah. He didn't have to work for anything. Anything that he wanted to eat, whatever he wanted, everything was available. But when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he erred and he was now thrown out of Jannah and he came into the world, it is mentioned that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, to make one loaf of bread, he required 360 things. 360 things to make one loaf of bread. Today is not difficult to understand. Today is very easy to understand this point. If a person has to only go back, look at that one loaf of bread that we eat. It starts from where? It starts with the grain. That the farmer has to plant that grain. So that farmer that is planting today, They need staff, but everything is done by machine, is done by tractor. So if you look at just that one tractor that the farmer has to use, in that tractor, how many parts are there? One is the glass, the screen of that, the windscreen. Where that windscreen is made and how many people work just to make that windscreen. If one place, the steering of the tractor will be made. Where the steering is made, what a factory, how many thousands of people working in the steering factory. If a person looks at the pedals of that tractor, the brake, the accelerator, where that is made and how many people are working for that. If a person looks at the gearbox, where the gearbox is made. Now look at every part of the tractor. We can break it up. The tires of that tractor, the bolts and nuts of that tractor. Just in that one tractor, there are thousands of people that have worked in the manufacture of that, just that tractor, the spray painting of that tractor. So many things that are in that tractor. Then that plow, whatever equipment he's using for plowing, in that, how many people have worked to manufacture that? Now that he's plowed it, then that has to be taken care of. Now how many people are looking after that grain? And thereafter, later on, he has to harvest it. And then that grain is then crushed, and then it's converted into flour. And then that flour has to be packed. For the packing, you're going to need all the sacks. So who's manufacturing the sacks? And then when the flour is now transported, maybe to the mill or wherever, so now that has to be put on the truck. Now look at the manufacture of the whole truck. The engine, the horse, the trailers, that is a whole industry on its own. And how many parts in the truck? Now you come to the bakery. Now in the bakery, how many machines? And how many people worked in making every machine? All this is done just for insan. How many millions of people are working every day in that one plate of food or the one slice of bread that we're eating, but we think of Allah Ta'ala. That all this is done just because of me. So to understand it today is very easy. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam signed 360 things. Today millions of things. Millions of things. We're eating three times a day. The computers that we are using, the pens that we are using, the ruler that we are using, the shoes that we are wearing, the warm hat that we are wearing. How many people are working for us every day of our life? But our mind doesn't go in that direction. That is why a person that recognizes Allah, he will think and he will see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in all these things. So he needed 360 things. So Allah ta'ala said, made it easy for Adam alayhi salam. He said, just read Bismillah. Just read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and everything will become easy for you. It is mentioned, ulama say that this Bismillah is so great that what is the content of the entire Quran? What is the content, the mazmoon of the entire Quran? This is found in one surah. The content of 30 paras is found in one surah, in Surah Fatiha. And what is the content of Surah Fatiha? This is found in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi has written that if a man, he reads Bismillah and in his house, there's barakat in that house. If he reads it in the shop, there's barakat in the shop. In whatever a person, on whatever he will read Bismillah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him barakat in all these things. To such an extent, that when a child goes to the madrasa and the child learns in the madrasa, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is mentioned in the hadith, just for teaching that child Bismillah, the ustaz maghfirat is made, he's forgiven. And the parent that child send the child to the madrasa, the parent, his maghfirat is made, the parent is also forgiven. In the time of Isa alayhi salam, the waqia is mentioned, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed by one qabr. So this person that was in the qabr, he was being given azab in the qabr. So Isa alayhi salam perhaps must have made dua for him, whatever the case may be, and he continued. But after some time, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam passed by the same place. And this person was no longer being punished. The punishment was now elevated. So he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, how is it that this person has left this world and he cannot do any good deed? إِذَا مَاتَ إِنْسَانِ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ. His amal come to an end. But there's no azab for this person. So Allah Ta'ala informed Isa alayhi salam that when he passed away, he left behind a little child. And this child, when he came of age, 6 years old, 5 years, whatever it might be, the mother took this child and left the child in the madrasa. So the first thing that the ustaz taught the child was Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What the child is saying? 5 year old child. What is he saying? I start in the name of Allah. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most beneficent and who is most merciful. Allah Ta'ala says, that child is calling me merciful. He's calling me, I am the one that is most compassionate. And I give azab to the father. I couldn't tolerate it. So on that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala removed the azab. So understand what is the power of Bismillah. On the website also there is a kitab with all the fazail of Bismillah. There's so many virtues just on this Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So a person now after ta'awud, read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ye shuru huwa ardash ka. Aur ardash ye hai. Now a person has commenced. A person has commenced with his request. And what is the request? The request that we're making to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is this: Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now the Surah Fatiha, this is the request. All along we're talking that a person present yourself, come into the court of Allah and place your request, present your request to Allah. So he says, this is the request, that all praises are due to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is Rabbul Alameen. Allah Ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. So yesterday we explained that there are four types of praises, and all four we discussed yesterday. So here a person is saying, all praises due to Allah who is Rabb. Who is Rabb? Alladhi yabda'ul khalq. That being that initiated the creation from non-existent. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brought this entire creation into existence. That is Rabb. ثُمَّ يُبَلِّغُهُ مِنْ دَرَجَةٍ إِلَى دَرَجَةٍ. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes this creation from one stage to the next stage. Allah Ta'ala takes care of this creation every stage of his life and takes him until that point where he reaches maximum. Like we explained earlier, that a person, when he grows, when a child that grows, this growth continues in the child. And then comes that stage in the child where he reaches the age of 33. When he comes to the age of 33 years, this is the maximum stage. Here, all growth now stops. Whatever a person was supposed to acquire, strength, etc., at the age of 33, it stops. And from the age of 33 till the age of 40, so this is the time where that strength that he had acquired, it is maintained, it remains. He doesn't lose that strength. So the maximum is 33. 33 to 40, a person, he maintains that. And thereafter, when he reaches 40, now we find that the decline starts. Now a person, he starts getting weaker and weaker and weaker. This is what Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says in one poem. He says, Bachpan ne tujhe barso khilaya. That when you're a little child, you're a little baby, then you're playing. Somebody was holding you, somebody was carrying you, somewhere you're playing with this toy, somewhere you're playing with that bicycle. So, Bachpan ne tujhe barso khilaya. That your childhood let you play. Many, many years of your life just went like that in childhood. Jawani ne phir tujhe majnu banaya. Then came that stage in your life where a person became a young man. Where he became a young man, youth. What we say around 12, 14, 16, all in that young days. So he says, Jawani made you insane. At that time, that young boy, he's crazy. You can't tell him what to do. He's right. Parents are wrong. Grandparents are wrong. Whole world is wrong. Ustad is wrong. Everyone is wrong. Only he is right. How he drives the car. How he'll put that music full blast. And how he'll spin the wheels. All that he'll do in that age. Because now, that is that youth. Bachpan ne tujhe barso khilaya. Jawani ne phir tujhe majnu banaya. Burhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya. Then old age comes. Now when old age comes, how old age troubles a person. Now a person, he can't sleep at night. Teeth are falling out. And he's putting vicks on one side, zambak on the other side. A person is having so much of problem. He's coughing whole night. His wife also can't sleep next to him because he's coughing so much. So he says, now when old age came, how it troubles you. And he says, finally the time will come in your life. Ajal tera kar degi bilkul safaya. Then death will come and you're completely wiped out. So he says, this is the life of a person. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that Rabb. That Allah Ta'ala brought you into existence, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brought you to that maximum stage. And Rabb is that being, Allah is that Rabb, that being, that He sustains the entire creation. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion he made a request to Allah. He says, I want to feed the creation. So Allah Ta'ala said, oh Sulaiman, you can't do it. You can't feed. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah, give me the opportunity, let me try. So Allah Ta'ala said, okay, if you want to try, you try. Because he had jinnat under him, insan under him, everyone was under him. Baitul Muqaddas was built under the instruction of Sulaiman alayhi salam. The jinnat were working under Sulaiman alayhi salam. So he said, okay. So for a few months, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam prepared. When all the food was now ready, so Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam told Allah Ta'ala that now I'm ready to feed your creation. So Allah Ta'ala says, where you want to start? You want to start with the land or you want to start with the sea? So he said, we'll start with the sea. Allah Ta'ala sent one fish. One fish. And whatever he had prepared for so many months, finish. One bite, it's gone. And then he still wants more also. Like one samosa, finish. And now he wants more. So Allah Ta'ala said, you see, Sulaiman, I told you. And this fish, I feed it three times a day more than this. Three times a day more than this. And two-thirds of the world is covered by water. One-third is land. Imagine the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, how many fishes there, how many fish there. And Allah Ta'ala is feeding all the fish. Every human being. Just look in our home, our family people, Allah Ta'ala is feeding. In Azadwal, how many people are in Azadwal? In this Krugersdorp area, how many? Nine provinces here in South Africa. Whole South Africa. And then the whole world, Allah Ta'ala is feeding them three times a day and more than three times a day. Who is Allah? Who is Rabb? So that's what he's saying when a person is saying, all praise is due to Allah, Rabbul Alameen. He is the Rabb of the entire universe. That He brought us into existence. He is taking care of us. He is feeding us. So think of this, who Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is. Now we are presenting our request. Then he says, Sab tarif Allah ko hai, jo sahib sare jahan ka hai. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. that Allah Ta'ala is most beneficent, Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. Bohot meherban aur nihayat raham karne wala hai. That Allah is most beneficent and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is most merciful. So this quality of Rahman, this is in dunya also. That the quality of Rahman, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that is in Rahman, that is enjoyed in dunya by all. And Rahim, this is especially for the akhirat. This is especially for the akhirat. And in the quality of Rahman, as the Kimsab writes, he says, in the quality of Rahman is mercy. But together with this mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there is some pain also. There is some difficulty that comes. In this mercy, there is some pain. An example of this is, a person, for example, he has to go for a bypass. So his arteries are blocked. So that's why this person is in danger. He can fall anyway, he can lose his life. So he has to go to the hospital to have his the bypass done. So in this, the doctor that is doing the bypass, he is helping the man. He is assisting the man. But in assisting the man, he has to go through difficulty because he's going to cut him up also. He's going to poke him. He has to go through anesthetics. Then so many weeks he'll have to be in bed. Then only he can be on his feet again. So there is mercy of the doctor, but with pain. So similarly in the quality of Rahman, there is mercy, but there's some pain also that is involved. And in the quality of Rahim, there is only mercy. There is no pain whatsoever in the quality of Rahim. And in Rahman, there's both. Thereafter a person, he says, Maliki Yawmiddin. That Allah, you are the master of the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah Ta'ala didn't say that He is Qazi Yawmiddin, that He is the judge of the day of Qiyamah. Allah is Malik. Allah Ta'ala does not have to observe or abide by any rules and regulations. Allah Ta'ala can do what He wants. On the day of Qiyamah, a person can come that is most sinful. Allah Ta'ala say, you go to Jannah. Nobody can question Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala can do as He wishes. And a Qazi, a person that's a judge in the court, he has to go according to the book. What the book says, what the constitution says, what the law says, he will have to move according to the book. So Allah Ta'ala is not a Qazi, He's not a judge. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Malik. On the day of Qiyamah, a person will be brought before Allah. And He's mentioned this person, when his book of deeds will be opened, he will be told that you committed a certain minor sin. He will be frightened, he will be shaking. So he will acknowledge, he will say, yes, Allah, I committed this. He'll say, you committed this minor sin. He'll say, Allah, I committed this. You committed this minor sin. Allah, I committed it. Now he's worried, what is going to happen when I come to the major sin? So then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will tell the farishtas, He says, for all these minor sins that this man has committed, convert it into good deeds and let him go to Jannah. So when Allah Ta'ala will say, now go to Jannah, forgive him for the minor sins, change it into good deeds, he'll have so much of hope on the day of Qiyamah, they'll say, wait Allah, there's so many major sins also in the book. What about the major sins? So look at Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not have to abide by any rules and any regulations. Allah Ta'ala is above the law. So Allah Ta'ala is Maliki Yawmiddin. Ke Malik Insaf ke Din ka. He is the owner of the day of justice. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Now a person says, now he's presenting his request. In this is half-half. One is the praise of Allah, and in this is also, he's now presenting his request. So he's saying, Allah, it is only you that we worship. Like a person, he goes to somebody, how we praise him first? How we tell him, you're such a good man, you're such a generous man, Allah Ta'ala has given you so much, you give to this institute, you give to that institute, and then you say, you know what, I got this small problem also, man, if you can help me a little bit. So exactly, yeah, first we praise Allah. And after praising Allah, now we think, Allah, it is only you that we worship. Now we say, wa iyyaka nasta'in. That Allah, only you we ask help for. Only you we ask assistance from. And what we are asking assistance for, this hasn't been mentioned. The maf'ul over here is hidden. Then what are you asking for? So when the maf'ul is mahzoof over here, it refers to everything. That we are asking assistance from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we are seeking your assistance, fi kulli shay. In everything, we want your help, we want your assistance of Allah. So that's what he's saying, tujhe ko hum bandagi karte hai, aur tujhe se madad chahte hai. It is through from you, it is only you that we worship, and it is only you, from you, that we seek assistance. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Now we are asking for the greatest thing. That the greatest thing that a person can get is hidayat. So we say, Allah, guide us to the straight path. Chala humko raah seedhi par. Then Allah, guide us from the straight path. Now which is the straight path? So then we say, siratal ladina an'amta alayhim. The path of those that you have favored. There are two paths to reach Allah. One is hold firm on kitabullah. That a man that holds on to kitabullah, he'll never go astray. So that is kitabullah. And the second one is rijalullah, the men of Allah. صراط الذين من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. So that is Rijalullah. So a person holds on to Kitabullah or Rijalullah. So this is referring to Rijalullah. That the part of those that you have favored, راه unki jin par tune fazal kiya, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And not the part of those that have earned your anger, and neither the part of those that have gone astray. Referring here
to those that earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these were the Jews. And the people that went astray, this refers to the Christians. So here we do not want this part. Na unki jin par ghussa hua hai, aur na behakne wale ki. Ye ardash Allah sahab ne apne bando ki zuban se farmayi. This Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes every person make this request verbally. Everyone, we're reading this in our namaz 5 times a day. And how many nawafil we are reading, in our sunnahs that we are reading. This one request we're making to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala again and again. Jis waq ji chahiye, is tarah kaha kare. That whenever a person wants, enter your namaz and start asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The greatest thing is hidayat. So India, you're asking for this hidayat. Baad uske ameen kehna. And he says, after you read surah Fatiha, now say ameen. What's the meaning of ameen? Istajib. Wallah, now you accept it from me. This dua that I have made, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina namta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal-ad-dallin. Wallah, accept it from me. Yani arz hamari qabul kar. Wallah, this request that we have placed, accept it. Sunnat hai. So this saying ameen, to say ameen after surah Fatiha, he says this is sunnat. Or ye lafz Quran ka nahi bil ittifaq. That all, it is unanimous, everyone agrees. That this word ameen, it is not a part of the Quran Sharif. When we say ameen, ameen got nothing to do with the Quran Sharif. It is just we are saying, Allah, accept this dua of mine. But it is not part of Quran Sharif, or it is not part of the Surah Al-Fatiha that we have recited. Or namaz mein iske saath ek surah aur mila de. And in namaz now, after you recited Surah Fatiha, and you have presented your request to Allah Ta'ala, would this now add one more surah? Add one more surah to this, and we explain that this is also wajib, that a person adds one more surah. Faida, parna surah Fatiha ka, aur milana ek aur surah ka wajib hai. That to recite Surah Fatiha and to join one more surah, this is wajib. Aur parna a'udhu aur bismillah ka sunnat hai. For a person to read a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, and for a person to read the tasmiyah, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, this is sunnat. Aur is maqam par surah ikhlas, yani qul huwallah, likhi jati hai. He said, on this occasion here in the kitab, the Shaykh Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi saying, that here we are writing regarding surah ikhlas, qul huwallahu ahad. That here he said, join it with the surah. So qul huwallahu ahad has been mentioned here. He says, do wajah hai. Why is it that specifically, I have chosen qul huwallahu ahad to speak a little bit on qul huwallahu ahad here? He says, there are two reasons for this. Ek ye ke, awamun nas, namaz mein beshtar isi ko parte hai. He says, generally people, in namaz, surah Fatiha, qul huwallahu ahad. Everyone reads qul huwallahu. Why? Sweet and short. Quick, a person, namaz is over. So, he says, most of the people read it, so that is why I brought it over here, qul huwallahu ahad. Dusre, ye ke tawheed aur samadiyat, Allah ki, aur bechuni, aur barai iski, is surah mein ba ikhtisar ho gaye. He says, the second reason is this. In this surah is the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In this is the oneness, qul huwallahu ahad. Allah ta'ala is one. So, in this is the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is why every morning and every evening in the Fajr, the Sunnah, we read قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ. That you totally free from kufr and shirk, and you believe in the oneness of Allah. And every evening you read the same, after Maghrib Salah in the Sunnah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ. You completely clean from kufr and shirk, and you believe in the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah. So here you're saying that the Tawheed and Samadiyat, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is totally independent. Later he explains what is Samadiyat. And the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is found in the surah. In qul huwallahu ahad, the greatness of Allah ta'ala is mentioned over here. In very concisely. Is waaste ke hukam is tarah nazil hua. It says, for this reason that the command was revealed in this way. That qul huwallahu ahad, tu keh ke Allah ek hai. That you say that Allah ta'ala is one. Allahu samad, Allah paak hai. Allah ta'ala is totally pure. Yani khana, peena, kuch nahi. That there is no eating also. Allah Ta'ala doesn't eat also. Allah Ta'ala doesn't drink. Samaj isi ko kehte hai, jo khud kisi ka muhtaj na ho, aur usi ka sab muhtaj ho. And he said, who is Samaj? Samaj is that being that he is not in need of anyone. He's totally independent. He is not in need of anyone. But everyone is in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. InshaAllah, we'll stop here. We'll continue, inshaAllah, Saturday.